songwriter said, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I'm bound for heaven, never more to roam.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Prophecies Concerning False Teachers. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Prophecies Concerning False Teachers.
Back in, we have two more messages in the book of Jude, so we're going to do one of them this morning and then finish up with this one chapter book that deals with contending for the faith. The key verse that we've been looking at is in verse 3, where Jude exhorts those in the body of Christ to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And this morning, we want to look at verses 14 through 19. So if you would open to Jude, that one book vestibule to the book of the Revelation, and we want to look at verses 14 through 19, and we do have an outline in the bulletin for those of you who want to follow along with the outline. In verse 14, the scripture says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration, because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These are they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And this passage deals with two prophecies concerning false teachers, and we want to look at those two prophecies this morning as we come to study the Word of God. As we look at this passage of Scripture, there are two prophecies that are given in this passage of Scripture. The first prophecy that is given is that the Lord is coming to judge the ungodly. Folk think that they're getting away with something. People think that they're getting over and they're going by unnoticed. But one of the things that Jude points out today is that if you're living an ungodly life, God is coming and he's gonna judge you. It's just like the man who said, well, you know, I've been living in sin all my life and God has never come to me and said anything. And the reply to that individual, well, when you work, you don't always get your paycheck on the same day. And that's true of God. It may seem that God is taking his time in judging the deeds of the wicked, but one day the deeds of the wicked shall be, number one, revealed, and number two, they shall be judged. And the second prophecy that's given in this passage comes from the apostles. And the apostle said that in the last days that mockers would come. Those who would ridicule the Christian faith, those who would denounce Jesus Christ, those who would eradicate or try to eradicate the message of Christ. So as we look at this passage, I think that we can have a good understanding, and to use a word borrowed from Brother Carl Kilcrease, we can see the two pericopes in this passage. All right. That's Greek for thought. Yuck, yuck. So we can see the two thoughts that's found in this passage here. The first thought, once again, is that the Lord is coming to judge the ungodly. And the second thought is that there will be mockers who will come forth in the last days. So let's begin to examine this passage this morning. In verse 14, it says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these." Of who? Of these ungodly people, number one. And secondly, of these ungodly false teachers, that Enoch prophesied about them. Now, you know, the question can be asked, as you think about the Old Testament, you know, we got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. As we go through the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, Hosea, you know, we have prophets. But nowhere do we find that Enoch wrote a book. If you go back and read the Old Testament, I think it's Genesis chapter 5, I believe, where it speaks of Enoch, nowhere do we ever find a sermon recorded by Enoch. So where in the world does Jude get this information that Enoch preached this sermon? And as a matter of fact, he gives the exact words, because these are the exact words that Enoch used. He said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Those are exact, that's an exact quote of what Enoch said. So where in the world do we get this information? Where did Jude get this information? Well, there are one of three places that Jude could have got it. Number one, there is an apocryphal book entitled The Book of Enoch. So Enoch possibly did write a book that never made it into the Bible, or into our canon anyway. Some religions have the Book of Enoch in their canon of scripture, but we haven't listed it in ours. So the fact of the matter is that there is a book that's out there that's attributed to Enoch. So Enoch must at some point either recorded some words, preached a sermon that somebody wrote them and included them in the Book of Enoch. The second view is that Jude received information about Enoch's prophecy directly from God. You see, we believe that the scripture is inspired, because the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So if God wanted to, he could have directly revealed to Enoch Jude exactly what Enoch said. Well, then there's a third view as to where Enoch got his information, and that is that Jude recorded oral tradition under divine inspiration. What was that? Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I appreciate that, man. I get going up here. All the kids between 4 and 9. They weren't going anywhere either, were they? Or did they already leave? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. See, kids, they don't even want to leave now. They're getting blessed up here. And so this third view says that that there was tradition that was passed on, that Enoch actually preached this message that we read. As a matter of fact, if you go and you have an apocryphal book, if you look up the Book of Enoch, I'll tell you exactly where it's at. It's in Enoch 1:9. Enoch 1:9 in an apocryphal book. Now, once again, some of y'all got them funny Bibles, and you might have the book of Enoch in it. So if you've got the book of Enoch, what you got one, Brother Tyler? All right. If you have the book of Enoch, just look up 1:9, and you will see that this is an exact quote of what Jude said here. So, you know, how are we to take that? Well, you know, once again, just dealing with the whole idea of inspiration, just because, now check this out, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand me now, just because the book of Enoch did not make it into our 66 books, into our canon of scripture, that don't mean that the book of Enoch doesn't contain things that are true and that Enoch might have said. So, you know, we just because, and see, many scholars have really detracted from Jude. And they said that, well, Jude really wasn't under the inspiration, because how could Jude quote from an apocryphal book? How can Jude quote from a book that never made it in? Well, you know what? If you go back and you read a geography book, you go back and you read a history book, they weren't necessarily written under divine inspiration, but they contain truth that if we were recording, like, for instance, if you read about the Holy Land, you know, you can go to a geography book, and a geography book will tell you that if you find the Dead Sea, and you find the top of the Dead Sea, and you begin to move east, that you will run right into the city of Jerusalem. Just by geography tells you that. So that don't necessarily have to be divine inspiration. And so even though Jude quotes from an apocryphal book, even though Jude make reference to a book that never made it into the inspired word of God, yet and still there was some truth that was in there. And so Enoch did preach, and Enoch did prophesy that the Lord was coming to judge the ungodly. So that's where that's where Jude got his quote from. Now, what does he say? Well, Jude and Enoch look at two things. They look at the conduct of the ungodly, and they look at the conversation of the ungodly. Verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. See, God is going to hold people accountable for what they do. That a time of reckoning is coming. Look at Revelation chapter 20. And actually, we can look at Revelation 19, because this shows us what Enoch said was true. Now, Enoch lived right during, it said that he was the seventh from Adam. Okay, Enoch was the seventh from Adam. That means if you take Adam and Seth and you follow it through, that Enoch would have been seven generations removed from Adam. So Enoch was there pretty much at the very beginning. Now, way back then, God spoke to Enoch and told him what was going to happen, told him that the ungodly would be judged. And remember what Enoch said. Enoch said that, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. 10,000 of his saints. Look at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Look at verse 14. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, what did Enoch say? What did Jude say? The Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. And here we see in Revelation the exact thing that they both prophesied. And they prophesied this even before John wrote the book of Revelation. They prophesied that. And here John tells us what is going to happen. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that should fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sat on them and the flesh of all men, both free and enslaved, and both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Wow, what a powerful passage. To think that one day the Lord will come and he will expose all the ungodly. You know, it troubles my spirit today when we look around and we see people who are just mocking the faith. They are mocking Christianity. And to realize that one day they're going to have to stand and give an account for that. The scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That you can scoff and you can mock and you can make fun of him now, but one day you will give an answer. You will have to stand before him and give an account of yourself. And as a matter of fact, in Revelation 20, that's what he talks about over there. Revelation 20. He said, and I saw in verse 11, Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Now, what are these books? All right. These books are the works of the folks who have denied God, who have rejected Christ. That the books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. Man, you know, it's a scary thought. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses all my sin. Man, I don't know how precious that is to you. I don't know how comforting that thought is to you, that when I stand, you know what? Man, now I don't know about you, but I've done some things in my life that I'm ashamed of. You know what? And I don't know. I mean, we can speculate how God is going to do this. There's different ideas. Is he going to put a big movie screen up with all heaven and show all the wicked things that you've ever done? I don't know. Is he somehow just going to open these books and then all of a sudden in your mind, in the presence of God and the heavenly host, in your mind, you're going to be reflect back over all the wicked things you've ever done in your life? I don't know. I don't know exactly how this is going to be done. I really don't. But I know two things about it. I know number one is that God is going to bring up every dastardly, dirty deed that the ungodly have ever committed. You see, he can't condemn them. He can't. He's God. If he wanted to, he could condemn them just because he wanted to. But he's going to have a reason for the condemnation. And the reason for the condemnation is all, as he said, look what Jude said. Keep your finger in Revelation, but go back and look what Jude said. Look what Jude said. Jude said, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to do what? To execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them of half of their ungodly deeds, a third of their ungodly deeds. All, amen, appreciate that. To convict them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed. Now that's scary to me. I mean, if I was here today and I didn't know Christ as my Savior, man, I'd be flying to this altar when the invitation was given. As a matter of fact, I would say, look, preacher, where's your altar counselors at? Let me talk to one of them. I don't even want to wait for you to finish the message. I want to deal with this thing right now. The fact that one day all of the deeds of the ungodly will be revealed. And how you would just have to stand there. You know, it's a shameful, shameful thing. You know, just think about sometimes, you know, just think about this. You know, a couple of years ago when our president was involved in some sexual immorality. Now, and think about all the dirt that had to come out as a result of that. Just think about that for 1 minute. And that these folk had to deal with all that dirt with the whole country. Man, that must have been shameful. For them to get the specifics of all the things that happened, and it's going out before the whole country, man. And you gotta go face somebody else after all this stuff has gotten out there? Man, if you got any sense of decency at all about yourself, man, there's like, man, this thing got out. Man, I'm sorry that I did this. How shameful is what I did? And you know what? When you stand before God, He is the greatest being in the world. No man can compare with God. No man has the magnitude of omniscience and omnipresence and just immutability that God has. And we're going to stand before an almighty God one day. And I thank God that when I stand before Him, I'm going to stand before Him washed in the blood of Christ. All my sins, G-O-N-E, gone. And I never, never have to give an account of my sin before God again. I'll never have to stand before God. And if I've committed an ungodly act like these folk here in Jude, I have done something ungodly, I'm never going to have to stand before God and give an account of that action before God. Now, I might have to give an account of my stewardship. And if that ungodly action affected my stewardship, then I've got to give an account for my stewardship. But we got to begin to believe this thing as God's people. Either the blood of Christ is as powerful as it says it is, or it can't even save us. It can't even save a flea. I thank God for the blood that covers all my sin, that washes all my sin away. And God will never make me sit down in front of Him and give an account for all my sins. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He took all my sins upon Him, and He agonized over my sin. And He felt the weight of my sin upon Him. And He bare the brunt. And I'll never have to bear it again. And you know what? That's good news. Man, that's good news. Yeah, I was sharing, I don't know if I was sharing it here or somewhere, I was sharing my testimony how that when I got saved, the night that I got saved at a church over in Turtle Creek. I went with one of my friends, Pastor Berkeley, and as we went to this church, you know, it was a white church, and the Spirit of the Lord began to work in my heart, and I felt that, you know, there was something I needed to do in response to the message, and I was getting ready to move, and Satan put this thought in my mind that you don't want to go up here in front of all these white people. I mean, that was a thought that Satan put in my mind. But I knew.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Prophecies Concerning False Teachers. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Prophecies Concerning False Teachers, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Prophecies Concerning False Teachers. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Prophecies Concerning False Teachers. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 7 books, For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.